So reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes into his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We have your holy word in front of us. Please give us ear to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark is great at presenting the gospel clearly, and he arranges his materials like a sandwich, two similar events forming the bread with the main message in the middle. In Mark chapter 7, we have one bread that Jesus opens our eyes to hear, our ears to hear him clearly. And in today's text, another bread, Jesus opens our eyes to see him clearly. And between two slices of bread, we have the main filling, which is the Jesus is the bread of life for the world. Whoever comes to him will never go hungry. Whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. And Mark wants us to eat that sandwich and be eternally satisfied in our souls. What does it mean to eat that sandwich? It means to know Jesus as the sovereign King who loves us. And it means to know Jesus as the eternal King who returns in glory. Knowing Jesus means we love him more than anything, even our own lives, because we see him clearly. Are you ready to eat this sandwich today? Jesus asked in verse 29, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" It is a personal question for all of us. And then shockingly, he speaks openly about the cross. This is not accidental. Mark is teaching us clear sight leads to costly discipleship. When Jesus opens our ears to hear him and our eyes to see him, who he truly is, everything changes. How you understand following the servant king. That is why this passage contains one of the most challenging statements Jesus makes in verse 34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And this morning, Mark wants us to eat this sandwich because it truly, eternally satisfies us. So as we walk through this passage, first we will see Jesus as the servant king who loves us. And second, we will see Jesus as the eternal king who returns in glory. The first, let's see Jesus as the servant king who loves us. Jesus reveals to the disciples that he is the servant king. To reveal himself, he asks a question in verse 27, "Who do the crowds say I am?" What Jesus is asking is this: these people have seen and experienced my power, love, and compassion for sinners and those who suffer, and they have heard my teaching that I have authority to forgive sin. I am the Lord of Sabbath. I am the Shepherd King. I am the bread of life for all nations. I am the great I am, and I will keep my covenant to set you free from your sin. And I am the heart surgeon to remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I am the one who opens the deaf ears to hear me and blind eyes to see me. Who do these people say I am? For them, Jesus is a mere man like John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets of all time, of long ago. The worst case, the Pharisees and Sadducees think that Jesus is the devil, a sinner, and a lunatic. Who do people today say he is? Some think Jesus is a good teacher. Atheists think he is a myth. Muslims think Jesus is a prophet, just like these people. And Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is Michael the archangel. For the Mormons, Jesus is our elder brother, and Lucifer is also our elder brother, the brother of Jesus. For the Hindu, Jesus is one of millions of gods. In the UK, the name of Jesus is a curse word people use every day. And Jesus asks in verse 29, "But what about you?" Forget about other people. What about you? Who do you say I am? It means, I have opened your deaf ear to hear me and your blind eyes to see me. Do you hear me? Do you see me clearly? Are you eating the sandwich now? Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." In Mark's gospel, Messiah is not a conquering political hero. The Messiah is the servant king who came down from heaven, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark does not tell us Jesus' response to Peter's confession, but Matthew does. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." It means God the Father opens Peter's eyes to see Jesus clearly. By the revelation of the God the Father, Peter knows who Jesus is. In Luke chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus says, "No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will testify about me." You see, the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit reveal who Jesus is. Without the triune God, no one knows who Jesus is. We have never seen Jesus. How do you know and believe that Jesus is God's Messiah, the servant king who gave his life as a ransom for us? By the revelation of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus is God's servant king. And the Bible is the revelation of the triune God. And now, Jesus opens our ears to see him clearly. Why does Jesus reveal himself to his disciples? Because he loves them. When Peter confesses, "You are the Messiah," Jesus begins to teach them, opening their eyes to see him clearly. Look at verse 31. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Why the cross? Because Jesus reveals that he is the servant king who loves them. As he says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's Jesus' love for us. God demonstrated his own love for us while we are all sinners. Christ died for us. Why did the king need to die? Our holy God cannot tolerate sin. That's why. The sinner's heart is the fountain of evil, as we have seen. Sin must be punished because he is just. If a thief went free without charge, we would be furious because the judge was not just. The people love justice today. We hear people love justice today. Do you want justice from God? Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you hated your brother? Have you looked at woman or man with lust? Have you gossiped? Have you disrespected your parents? God will never let you go free because he is just. God is a righteous judge. God is holy. He finds sin and punishes sinners because he despises sin. How much does God hate sin? The wage of sin is death. The cross was where God the Father poured out his wrath upon Jesus, who stood in my place and in your place. Before taking the cross, Jesus had sweat drops of blood, asking the Father to remove the cup 3 times. Jesus was not scared of the Roman soldiers. The cup he drank was the fullness of God the Father's wrath, which we deserve. Jesus drank every bit of it for us because he loves us. The cross is a sign of Jesus' love for his people. The cross speaks loudly. The servant king loves you and me. Can you see his glory and hear his voice saying, "I am the eternal king and your God, the creator of heavens and the earth and everything in them. And I left all the glory I once shared with the Father in order to be beaten, stripped, flogged, spitted, and punched in the face, and nailed in the hands and feet, speared in the side, humiliated, mocked, and naked, and insulted by my own creatures in public to give my life as a ransom for you. This is how much I love you. You are more precious than my life and my glory." But listen carefully. The cross is not the end. How do you know the payment was accepted? How do you know the justice was satisfied? Look at verse 31 again. "After 3 days, he will rise." The servant king has risen. The author of life cannot stay in the tomb. The resurrection is heaven's declaration. The sacrifice is accepted. The sin is paid for. And the death is defeated. The cross shows his love. And the resurrection shows his victory. Jesus is not only the servant king who died for you. He is the living, eternal king who reigns over you. Have your eyes been opened to see him? Have you confessed that Jesus is your servant king? It is the triune God who opened your blind eyes to see him clearly. We know Jesus not because we are clever. We know him because he loves us enough to reveal himself. He shows us the cross and the empty tomb. And Jesus asks you, do you see me clearly now? Are you eating the sandwich now? Secondly, see Jesus as the eternal king who returns in glory. The servant king who died and rose is not finished with history. He is coming again because he is the eternal king who returns in glory. Look at verse 38. Jesus will come again in his Father's glory with his holy angels. The servant king is eternal king who lives forever and returns in glory. This is the word of the eternal king. The one who was mocked will return in majesty. The one who stood silent before man for us will speak as judge. The one who was shamed in public for us will appear in glory publicly with judgment. The eternal king who will return called the crowds along with his disciples, and he says, look at verse 34. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He's not talking about small sacrifices. In the first century, the cross was not a metaphor for inconvenience. It was an instrument of execution. To take up your cross means you're walking toward your death. So self-denial here does not mean denying yourself chocolate, comfort, hobbies, or a little bit of time or money. It means denying your right to rule your own life. It means saying, my life is no longer my own, but Christ. He has bought me at the cost of his life. He is my Lord. My safety is not ultimate. My reputation is not ultimate. My comfort is not ultimate. Jesus is my everything. This is self-denial under life and death loyalty to Christ. Why? Because we see him clearly. He is the servant king who loves us. And he is the eternal king who lives forever and returns in glory with judgment. So following Christ is a total allegiance. It sounds to me, Jesus is saying to the crowd with the authority of eternal king, because I love you, I will die, and I rise from the dead for the forgiveness of your sin. That is how much I love you. How much do you love me? Eternal King demands our love in all circumstances. Do you love Jesus? The next verses clearly explain what it means to follow Jesus. Look at verse 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Here Jesus used the word life in two senses. If you try to save your physical life, if you protect yourself at all costs, if you deny Christ to preserve comfort and safety, you will lose your eternal life. It means you do not see Jesus clearly as the eternal king who returns in glory as church. But if you lose your life for him and for the gospel, meaning you are willing to suffer and be rejected, even to die rather than deny Christ and his word, you will have eternal life. It means you see Jesus clearly as the eternal King who returns in glory. This is not teaching the suffering on salvation. It is teaching that true faith treasures Christ more than our own life in this world. The issue is not suffering itself. The issue is loyalty. Whom do you love more? Your life now or Christ forever? Do you see Jesus clearly as the eternal King? Jesus explains further what it means to follow him. Look at verse 36 to 37. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Imagine gaining everything, power, wealth, pleasure, security, approval, then losing your own soul forever. It is the worst exchange possible. Jesus is saying your soul is worth more than entire world combined. Do you see yourself, the world is temporary? Your soul is eternal. You can lose possessions and recover. You can lose reputation and recover. You can even lose your physical life. But if you lose your soul, there is no recovery. That is why Jesus says, what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Nothing. Once lost, it cannot be bought back. That's why Jesus commands us to follow him for our souls. Following Jesus means loving him and his word more than the world and our life in this world. It means valuing eternal life above temporary safety. It means recognizing public shame, rejection, even persecution may come, not because suffering saves us, but because our love for Jesus and his word provokes opposition in this sinful world. It is all because we see Jesus as the eternal King who brings his eternal kingdom. The eternal King is asking, do you love me more than the world and your life? Jesus does not command us to seek suffering. He commands us to follow him. Suffering may come because of him and his word. And when it comes, the question becomes, do I love Jesus more than my safety? Do I love Jesus more than my reputation? Do I love Jesus more than my life? That is the heart of this passage. Do you see Jesus as the eternal King who returns in glory? Are you eating the sandwich now? Jesus continues to tell us what it means to follow him. Look at verse 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Who decides the destiny of your soul? The King who lives forever and returns in glory. In verse 37 ends with, what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Nothing. Our soul does not disappear into nothingness. It stands before the eternal King Jesus. Are you seeing Jesus clearly now? Because a day is coming when the eternal King returns in glory with judgment. In verse 38, Jesus is echoing Daniel chapter 7, where the Son of Man is described as the eternal King who is given authority, glory, and a kingdom, eternal kingdom, and judgment. The eternal King tells us not to be ashamed of him and his word in this sinful and adulterous generation. Loving Jesus means not being ashamed of him and his word. Loving Jesus is being proud of him before people, because we see him as the eternal King who returns in glory. Loving Jesus is proudly acknowledging him before people. Of course, there are costs to love Jesus, self-denial, and our daily cross. We can be publicly mocked and falsely accused. We often fear people more than Jesus. Fear makes many Christians fail to acknowledge Jesus before others. But many don't fear Jesus, eternal King who returns in glory with judgment. I fail because sometimes I don't fear Jesus. I love myself more than him. I have failed many times. One day, I had a plan to go to Bath to preach the gospel. Just imagining myself preaching the gospel in the busy street of Bath made me overwhelmed and terrified. I didn't want to go. My wife had no idea what I was thinking and asked me, "What are you doing now? It's time to go." I went and parked the car, struggled a bit, and fell asleep in the car for 3 hours. Sometimes I miserably fail. But listen carefully, our eternal King is gentle and loving. His love endures forever. He restores me, and this is the way the eternal King restores us. Whenever I fail, Jesus asks me, "Ilho, do you love me?" Peter is the representative of those who fail to acknowledge Jesus before others. Fear gripped him, and he denied Jesus 3 times before a slave girl and others. When he failed, Jesus restored him by asking a question 3 times. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than the whole world and more than this and your life? Do you love me? Do you love me?" When he was asked 3 times, he was saddened. Spiritual sadness is good for our souls. Spiritual grief makes us come to Jesus in repentance. And it helps us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the eternal King, who loves us and patiently waits for us and encourages us to love him more. When Jesus demands that we follow him by denying ourselves and taking up our cross, he knows we are weak like Peter. He restores us with his love and grace by asking a question: "Do you love me?" The eternal King asks you today, "Do you love me?" Look at verse 38 again. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This word does not discourage us or make us fear anymore, because he opens our eyes to see him as the eternal King who returns in glory and who is gentle and loving and whose love endures forever. And we are longing for that day when Jesus comes in his glory, because we know who he is. We know he loves us. We know he helps us to love him more. Whenever we fail, he does not fail us. He restores us and encourages us. He never loses his own, because He died for them. The reason why we can love him as he commands us is that he opens our eyes to see him clearly. Love between Jesus and his people continues eternally. When Jesus comes again, he will open the book and call your name one by one. There will be plenty of time, eternity. Every one of us will be called by name. And Jesus will tell the Father and the angels, Father, angels, listen. This is Graham. I love him. He is not ashamed of me and my words because he loves me and I love him. And I'm so excited about it. I'm looking forward to that day. Jesus opens our ears to see him clearly as the servant king who came not to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for us. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus is the eternal king who returns in glory and whose love endures forever. Do you love Jesus? I have eaten the sandwich. I am eternally satisfied. Have you eaten the sandwich? If not yet, will you eat it for eternal satisfaction in your soul? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for opening our eyes to see the Lord Jesus clearly. Our servant king and our eternal king. Please help us to see that his love for us. Help us love him more in this world. Please bless us. Bless us to eat this sandwich. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.